Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're going to talk about nature to nurture tonight, and we've got a really great guest chef in the house. Miss Sarah Whitfall is with us. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm just fine, thank you. Calling in from England.
I know. Woo-hoo! We are so excited. We're so excited. And as always, my beautiful Miss co-host, Miss Amy Frost, how are you doing today?
I am so tired of being sheltered in. I want to be lost in nature.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that, too. And Miss Kelly, our guest chef, Miss Kelly, is with us as well. Hey, Miss Kelly, how are you today?
Hey, Robin. I'm fabulous, and I'm glad to be here with you and Sarah and Miss Amy.
Well, and you are fabulous, that's for sure. That's for sure. So right off the bat, Amy, want to go ahead and introduce Sarah. I think that would be great. She introduced her to me, and I would love for Amy to have people know about her the way that you do.
Sarah and I have worked together for quite a long time. I think we've met each other in person maybe once. We both belong to the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, and she has really big time stepped up to be part of the humanitarian work that we're doing. And she is just an amazing person. I don't know her that well, but I love her. And I honor her work with nature, and she does body code, and she's finding her way in who she's here to be, and we're honored to help her on that process.
Yeah, I think that's a great model of where a lot of people are on the planet right now, considering that, you know, with this whole COVID thing, we're really being invited to step into areas of our life that might have been these whispers that we've been kind of pushing off for a long time, and being able to just now say, I'm going to let that be a louder voice in my life and not be intimidated by how that might be looking out in the world. I just got to do it. So, Sarah, I would love for you to tell your story about the plants.
Hey, well, at the moment, I'm working in a garden center and looking at all the beautiful plants that come up to the tills that people are buying. And we're also linked to an arboretum, which is a great collection since the early 1900s of lots and lots of different specimens from around the whole world. So I'm surrounded by beauty. And the most interesting thing to me is the number of people that they come up and they say, well, I'm going to rescue this flower. It's not the best, one in the shop, but I feel the need to nurture it, to give it a little bit of me, see if I can give it a life. And it's been, you know, part of what I do. I've got a garden full of rescue plants, and I talk to them a little bit, not like you do, but they just want to give them a chance, along with all the perfect specimens as well in their lovely garden. So that's what I'm doing currently with plants, and trying to remember some of the Latin names.
Oh, you know, I don't even think they care about their Latin names, because that's something that humans just kind of gave them. They're like, that's not my name. My name's Bob. You know, I mean, you know, hey. Why do you keep calling me this, like, you know, the botanical name or something like that?
The conversation that we have often is like, okay, who gets to decide what's a flower and what's a weed? So that's a whole other thing.
Right. Yeah, because I was talking to one of my networkers today with the different stuff going on, and he talked about a weed, and I go, that's just one person's interpretation of what something is. I mean, a rose could be a weed, considering if you don't want it where you want to plant it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all like, oh, wow, that's something to think about. You know, the other day I found out that palm trees are actually grass. Did you guys know that?
Those are some big blades.
That's a big blade. That's a really big blade. I was like, whoa,
that's a big weed.
Big grass, man. Yeah.
Jolly green giant grass.
So that's just crazy. That's just crazy. Yeah, so Amy had shared about how Sarah just loves to go and just, she's a little mama, I call her a mama nature girl. She just loves to come and just take something that nobody would think was, you know, worthy of the time to just nurture it and have it be able to restore itself. And I think that's such a beautiful metaphor right now where we are with just the situation that we have on the planet with COVID. But being able to come from this place of uncertainty and not looking like anything would have the business of thriving, but yet, gosh, anywhere and everywhere you look, if you know, it's always what you're looking for in life. If you're looking for the struggles, you'll see struggle. If you're looking for thriving, you'll see thriving. And Spirit and God are so good at being able to give us what we're really seeking in life. And I'd love for any of you guys to jump on that idea.
Well, I just find it interesting how Sarah's talking about how these people are, you know, choosing these plans to help them survive, where, of course, we all know that it's really us helping the plants and then how resilient plants are, number one, and how they help us to be more resilient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's just like going to a shelter, you know, an animal shelter, and, you know, the question is who saved who? Right, when it finally comes down to it with that. And actually, I found out here in Riverside, our animal shelter is sold out. They have no animals. Isn't that amazing?
Nice.
People have come and gotten all
Yay.
Their, every animal has been taken to be taken care of it while this is all going on, which is, gosh, what a blessing.
Well,
I think you can see if that's a phenomenon that's happening all over.
Well,
that's amazing. Sorry, I was just saying back in England, we've got a chicken farm up the road and they broadcast on Facebook to say that, the chickens are about to be turned into dog food. Anybody want to come and rescue some? And my husband went along and there was this queue all the way down the road of people with their boxes ready to rescue the chickens. And they were all being set up in people's houses because there's that sort of romantic idea about setting up your little small holding, having your chickens, growing your seeds and sort of stripping it back to nature a little bit more than back to basics, really. This is what people used to do, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah,
they
totally used to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great segue for about 2 weeks ago. My husband was looking at just things that were trending on Facebook and stuff, and people were starting to create victory gardens. And back in the Second World War, and actually even First World War, they started being able to plant vegetable gardens that were helping with the war effort. Plus, you know, there was a harder time being able to have enough agriculture to be able to feed everybody. So everybody basically started their gardens again. And there has been a surge at all the nurseries. Well, you go to any of these places that are carrying any kind of plants, vegetables, flowers, and people are just going nuts, making sure that they're restoring their flower beds and then putting in all kinds of different fruits and vegetables that they can have for the summer. And I just think that's awesome.
Not only take care of yourself, but you can also help your neighbors and help other people, right, with things that you're growing. Certainly the plants and the fruit from them, but also, right, the flowers, that it just can really bring some love, some healing opportunities. I wanted to share a fellow, Jason, that I was talking to recently, and I was talking about the show and what we were going to do, and he said I'm exceedingly grateful for our garden during this time. It's a wonderful reminder of life is going on unbothered by the coronavirus.
Mhm. It's thriving. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing things growing and thriving, and I think that's why I love Sarah's story so much. It's about seeing the potential of something, but just a little bit of extra care and love, how it can just go nuts. And I bet your garden is just nuts.
When it is the goal, right?
To see a positive end result for your effort. I mean, that's really, I think we need that. We need to see, I do this, there's a positive result.
And it's something that you can have a hand in, then actually there's the positive efforts with it. Yeah, same thing that we're talking about. So, Sarah,
I want to go back to the victory garden. Robin, you had sent me something where you said that 40% of the crops that were created in World War II actually went to the troops.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. Think about that. About 40% of all the fruits and vegetables that got created were able to take them to the front lines for the guys. That's amazing.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. So Sarah does also something she does is she's a body code practitioner. And I'd love you for talk about that and how that's kind of goes back into the resilience of nature and how you see that with the body.
Well, I think with the body code, it's all about, if you have an ache or a pain or something's not working, the premise is that behind that, there is an energetic block in you that has come up from some sort of emotion. And even when I'm not clearing emotions for people, which will enable the body to just get back to working normally, you can go outside into my garden. You know, if I'm feeling really pissed off or I've had a terrible, terrible day, I just go outside and I just sit there and look at the sunshine and watch the bees, or I take the dog for a walk and she rolls over and jumps at me because she doesn't need somebody else to tell her she's wonderful. She's just like happy to be out running around. And so the body is communicating you, saying, I'm not happy. And, you know, there's a great big thing going on with COVID now where the immune system is just really, really depressed because everyone is stressed out there. Nobody's enjoying the nature and getting out in the garden because they're too happy to just nip down to the supermarket, buy something ready-made. They've put no thought into it. They've had no feedback from the time it takes just to plan something, make a meal for your family, grow the fruit and veg. You know, you've got a curly carrot and a wonky cucumber, but you grew it. And so I think nowadays, in this particular time, there'll be a lot more satisfaction in actually taking part in this life that we're living.
And I'd
love
to have
the connection.
No, you're good. No, we were processing. We're being with you. I'd love to have
Kelly
talk
about. That was a deep moment. It was deep.
A deep moment. Exactly. And very, very right on. So
Kelly
talked
about
her rose book.
So in the area of thriving, we have this little rose bush outside our front door that I'm kind of embarrassed to say does not get a lot of attention, generally speaking. And I've lived here 8 years. And it generally will bloom with one or two blooms. And this year it is just being the happiest little thing. And I think it's got like 15 blooms on it right now. And they're gorgeous. They're just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, of course, she's getting more attention. And I'm spending time talking to her. And the cats are watching her. And, send pictures out of her. But she's just loving the thriving part of it. And I've never seen this many blooms on her.
She started noticing it, and then she started putting more attention. So that's kind of interesting. So let's look at nature. When it knows it needs attention, right? Well, it'll start blooming or start dying or doing different things. Like, hey, you need to pay attention to me.
Is that what happens for you, Sarah, when you're like looking at the all the what people would consider the the misfits on the garden? When you look at them for bringing them home?
I don't know what it is. I don't know whether they're too scared of what the husband will say when they come home with another bootload of plants so that they can say, oh, well, I only spent this amount of money and I'm going to sort of give life to this corner of my garden. So I suspect there's a healthy dollop of that. But I just think we all know that the plants, you give them a little bit of sunshine and they'll come back and duplicate. You know, you don't get one back, you get so much more than that little bit of help that you put in. And then, you know, if you do get a flower like Kelly's rose that's just gone bonkers, then it's so satisfying. It's really super.
Well, you know, I think that's just like us. It's just like us. You know, give me a little bit of sunshine and show me that you care, and boy, can I make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to be said for Mother Nature really showing us how to be just present in the world and to be generous and in being able to be receptive to other people. I mean, they said that the Dalai Lama had said that, you know, if you're sad and you feel like, you know, you're looking for somebody to do something, you know, do that for somebody else. and, you know, it will come back to you. And that's always been just a really profound thing that I think I've learned from looking at all of his work. It's just been super awesome with all this stuff that's going on. So let's talk a little bit about
the coronavirus and some things that you can do with nature, with plants, with flowers, maybe to support yourself while you're supporting that. I know two very close friends of mine, Ben, who is a trauma specialist, is out doing stuff all the time. She is all the time, it's whenever she can get a break, and luckily she lives close to, you know, very nature spots, will be out there. And our friend Reginald, same thing. I know he's out there right now. So whenever we can't find him, we know he's in the wilderness and that he's processing. Mm-hmm. And that he makes that a very important part of what he does, and so does Kristen. And part of what she's been doing is doing energy psychology techniques out in nature. So certainly that helps her, but she's been, and she's never done these YouTubes before, and she's been doing YouTubes. So she gets to help other people while she's out in nature, and I'm sure nature's loving it too. It's like, yay, look at us, right? And so back and forth. So I'd like to get your guys' ideas of maybe some ways that you use nature, flowers, plants for yourselves. And I know one thing, like we were at Trader Joe's last weekend, and we got some plants that were flowering, and my husband planted them for me, and they are doing so well. And to have that color in the backyard, and the rest of the garden going nuts. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you think that's good? Look at me. So that's kind of
competition. That's a new competition in the neighborhood. How about you, Sarah?
Well, I was just sort of reflecting on, isn't it funny that in normal times, people, and especially the kids, they just want to go inside, shut the door, get on the computer, watch video games, and kill each other by whatever it is they're watching on the Xbox. But now that they're at home and they're not having to go to school or what have you, they all want to go outside. They want to go to the beach. They want to go to the mountains. They want to play with their friends. They don't want to watch the telly. They're fed up of the Xboxes. And isn't it funny how it's all turned around?
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. You know, I've with one thing as being a florist, I really looked into the science components of wellness with nature. And there's all kinds of studies that have shown that when you care for something, like say if you went into a care facility and they did a experiment where they had a bunch of them that have gotten plants, half the people had plants, half of them didn't. The ones who had to take care of a plant during their recovery got well twice as fast. So it's that sense of purpose that's beyond themselves. And I think having that thing that they nurtured also gave them some nurturing at the same time. So it's really, I think it's just fascinating to have that component of something that, you know, a lot of people would say is not a living. It's not living in the way that we know it. But, you know, there's also been science research and stuff where you actually talk to a plant and see the effects of that. And there's been a lot of studies to show that, you know, they do respond and they know. I had a girl that used to work with me, and she laughed when I first told her, shared her about the stories about that. She said she had her dad had a fern, and this fern would sit right next to his lazy boy in the living room, and his dad, just for fun, would yell at the plant. He'd rah, 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 be grabbling and all that at that fern, and that fern would literally shake. And they didn't. There was nothing there that would cause him to vibrate, but the fern would just start shaking and show his emotional distress over the fact that dad was yelling at him. It's just for fun.
Well, I don't want to get too much into this.
Come on now.
To the story of it. But the book, The Secret Life of Plants, has a lot of stuff that they did to show, that plants actually do have feelings and they're responding to energy. So The Secret Life of Plants, amazing book. And then The Secret Life of Trees. Robin, do you want to talk just the cliff notes, top level of that? You know, we were in Sedona last year, and we wandered into this cool little bookstore, and it just jumped out at Robin, The Secret Life of Trees. So what, you know, the cliff notes of what that's about.
Well, the author is a forester, so he's really seeing it from literally the roots up, the dynamics of how trees interact with each other. And one of the stories I remember was about acacia plants in Africa are so smart that the giraffes like to come and eat them. They love their leaves. And they actually have a mechanism within them where they actually secrete a sour taste, a sour component to the leaves, so that once the giraffes start eating the leaves, it'll actually make the rest of the leaves go sour. So they won't want it. And the giraffes have gotten pretty smart. They know how to go upwind. So that way the other plants aren't knowing what's going on. So there's this intricate relationship going on between the trees and the animals and all this other stuff that I thought was just really, really, really very, very interesting. Another cool story he talked about was Yellowstone had come to a point where they were getting overpopulated by all these animals that were coming in and literally eating because the wolves had gotten crazy. They were taking out all these grazing animals, the elk and all this had basically had gone into low populations. And what they really realized is they had to go ahead and take the wolves out of the situation. And it literally was devastated for about 15 years because there was such a devastation of the growth that it took that long for nature to be able to rebound from the fact that they took the wolves out. So it's just one of those things of the dynamics of balance that really can show you how, whether it's, a certain animal, whether it be a wolf or, us as human beings that go into an area and really can devastate an area. And, boy, I mean, going back to COVID, literally within a week, looking at the waterways and how things were getting cleaned because we were no longer, continually, polluting and putting, all these different challenging situations with Mother Nature to have to clean up on a regular basis. I just thought that was just amazing.
Rowan, I have something that just came up for me, so let's just see where this lands. We're sheltering. Some people, are able to work and some not, and we're finding new ways to work. I'm almost feeling like if you'd be open to it, maybe do a meditation for us going into the garden and having a flower come forward for our transition.
You want Sarah to do that?
I think you.
Sarah
can if you feel comfortable,
okay.
But I don't think
she feels
comfortable doing that.
Sarah,
I know
that Robin's going to do it.
She's like, I'm good.
Another show we'll have Sarah.
Okay. So let's all take a deep breath. Oh, goodness. And another deep breath.
That was
And a laugh. Yeah, laughing's good. Yeah. She's like, let's do meditation with laughs. That's a totally different show. That'd be a laugh or yoga meditation. But that's good.
Deep breathing.
Okay. And another breath in. And out. And just imagine yourself at a seashore, and actually you're up at a cliff, and you can see the ocean ahead of you, and on the sides of this beautiful cliffside that's just filled with all kinds of wildflowers, and they're all blooming and moving in the wind with the wind coming off the ocean. And just allow yourself to be there for a second, just sitting and listening to the waves and the wind and how it's moving all the flowers. Within that rustling, look across at the flowers that are coming on that cliff area. And there's one in particular that you see. And it's this brilliant yellow daisy, a wild daisy that's grown out of the crevices of the cliff. And you're just fascinated with, how did you get here? And boy, look at how brilliant and vibrant you are. And take a moment to ask, why do I notice you? What do you have to show me? And see what comes to you. And amid all the crashing of the waves and the brisk wind that's coming off the ocean, there seems to be this really unusual calm that comes over you. And it seems to transcend even where you are. And it's part of the message of that daisy. You take a nice deep breath in and put your hands to your heart. And hold that image of that daisy into your heart. For it's about the strength and the tenacity and the willingness to shine and be brilliant, even in all kinds of what people would consider rough circumstances. And take another deep breath in. And when you're ready, go ahead and come back. Feel your fingers and toes and take a nice deep breath in. Anybody want to share what they got?
Yeah, I'll share. What came to me was that we've got a moment now to realize that we are all actually very special and that we're all worth noticing, and that it's time to think about ourselves rather than everything else that's going on around to distract us. You know, what is it that's so beautiful about ourselves? And then just build on that for the future, really, because I spend all my life thinking about everybody else. So it's something we all need to do.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. How about you, Kelly?
I got resilience, persistence, grace, and it just, like, it stopped with grace, except grace kept expanding. I don't know how to explain it better.
I think that's good. How about you, Amy?
Okay.
Part of me went, oh, crap. How am I going to get down from here? I don't know. How am I going to get out of here? And then I was like, all right. like this cliff. I don't see a path out of here. So I just thought, you know what? It's okay. I'm just going to be here for this moment. And I'll do another visualization on the path out when it's time.
I think that's
there
interesting. Yeah. And I mean, for me, when I saw the daisy, it was kind of cute. It's like he got a little animated and he had his little hands up in the air going, hey, you know, like I'm here, you know, shine baby shine kind of a thing. Yeah. Very, very bright, very, very brilliant. I want to go back to Amy. I think that's an interesting, you know, how do I get out of here? I think that's an interesting thing because so many people are kind of feeling that way in the moment of like, what's the next thing? And, you know, how are we going to move forward?
Like, yeah, I wasn't saying particularly panic, but it's like, oh, crap. All right. Well, can I? And I allowed myself to enjoy that moment. But I also was, there was a part of me going, okay, I have no clue how I'm going to get out of here. Number one, how I got here. And then number two,
yeah,
it was Robin, of course. But how I get out of here. But also, you know, for me, I've been through a lot of challenging times in my life. And, you know, we've been through 9/11, been through a lot of things. And I really, I've worked really hard to be resilient and to have a support system. And I really believe, totally believe and know that something better is coming. And I have to step into my calling and support everybody else stepping into theirs. And then, yeah, I'm really not kidding. I'll stay on the cliff until I'm ready to visualize doing something else.
Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting, I think, when you are sitting in a situation like that where you got there, I mean, you walked out to the cliff area and you got there, but then when you go back, you're going, how did I get out here? I've done that before in my life when I've hiked somewhere and I'm like, yeah, I was like, oh, that little nook right there in those rocks looks comfortable. You know, you sure that it was easy to get there, but to get back out again, you're not thinking that far. So I think that's a really good way of looking at that. But, you know, the thing is that I got here, so I know I can get out. And I think, you know, whether it's, you know, ourselves and looking at being able to step forward or being able to look at how nature would do that and looking at being able to have a way forward in the way that we would see the future and knowing that no matter what, one thing I always think of when it comes to something like that is grass will grow in asphalt. Grass will grow on a freeway. there's all these, you know, areas of life that nature just shows you the tenacity that she has when it comes to being resilient and being able to grow just about anywhere she puts her mind to it. And, you know, love that.
One of my favorite exercises with people is like, okay, imagine yourself as a tree. What kind of tree are you? So that could be a fun exercise. Think back, like for me, I like the idea of a cherry tree because I like the flowers, I like the fruit, I love the color of the wood.
And imagine that, you know, and you do this exercise and right frequently, Robin, where you imagine yourself planted as a tree and be in that. And of course, it's really great to get out into nature and hug trees, sure. So, they, you know, maybe if you can, we don't have a whole lot of trees here, but, you know, we. But I can imagine I'm hugging a tree, and I can run over to Henderson. They have some trees there. If people let me hug their tree.
Yeah, the trees in Las Vegas have to have a tenacity and a resilience about them because they're surviving in an area. Yeah, they're growing in a desert, and here they are growing and thriving. So I think that's something to be said with that, too. Because for me, when you said that, I was thinking of a willow. You know, bends in the wind. And, you know, one thing I love about trees is what you're seeing on the top, there, imagine that it's at least the same, if not double, on the bottom when you look at the root system.
Mm-hmm.
It goes very deep and very wide to support itself.
If you don't have the root system, right, the tree is not going to do well. So that now is the time for us to work on our roots, yeah?
Exactly. And, you know, anything you want to say about that, Sarah, about, you know, going deep and working on your roots?
Well, I was just thinking about what tree, actually. Sorry, I'm probably not going to answer this, but my tree was going to be a monkey puzzle tree. And I bought five monkey puzzle trees, and they were as tall as my palm width when I bought them. And it was the tree I always wanted, but nobody ever listened that I wanted one, so I bought myself one. But in order to make it better, I bought four more and gave them to my parents, my sister, my brother, and somebody else, I can't remember. And do you know what? Out of those five monkey puzzle trees, only mine survived. The rest died.
Wow.
And mine is in my garden now. It's almost like a bonsai monkey puzzle. It's 15 years old, and I like it because I think it's got attitude. And one thing,
just like you, just like you.
Yeah. just one thing I think that we should all do is never take the same path that you always take. So just do it differently.
Yeah, you know, listen to those whispers of, I need to get a monkey puzzle tree.
There you go.
And, you know, and I really believe that yours grew, Sarah, because you did love it, and you just said, this is me. Mm-hmm. And it's a part of who I am and expressing it out into my world, and I think that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, well, like always, 30 minutes, it goes super fast for us. So thank you, Sarah. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it was awesome.
So, you know, go to your local nursery and see if they got anything they think they don't want to keep anymore and be like Sarah, you know, with her nature mama.
Adopt
and just,
it.
You know, give it a little bit of love and it will thrive. It will thrive. Okay, so we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us. You guys have a great week.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.